Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. Back when my grandma lived with us, we would spend hours watching nature shows together. You know, she didn't speak English, I didn't speak Indonesian, but seeing a lion just go to town on some poor zebra or whatever just transcends language barriers, you know? And those shows always made nature seem so far away. Like, the very idea of nature implied distance. But the guest on the pod today dispels that notion. Rae Wynn Grant is an ecologist and host of her own show, a reboot of NBC's Wild Kingdom. She's got a memoir out called Wildlife: Finding My Purpose in an Untamed World, about how she fell in love with wildlife. And she talked to NPR's Aisha Roscoe about getting really up close and falling in love with bears. That's ahead.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. On The Sympathizer podcast, host Philip Nguyen joins the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen to discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
So our next guest, let's have her make the introductions.
I'm Rae Wynn Grant, and I'm a wildlife ecologist. So, get this. In 2017, I had a major network executive say to my face, Rae, you will never host a nature show. You're not a white guy with a beard.
She's no white guy with a beard, but Wynn Grant now hosts a show that pretty much made nature shows famous. The one Marlon Perkins was on back in the day, Wild Kingdom on NBC.
Today, we're visiting Edwards Air Force Base to explore a groundbreaking Head Start program that's helping to save desert tortoises.
Rae Wynn Grant is now exploring her own journey in a memoir, Wildlife: Finding My Purpose in an Untamed World. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's amazing to be here.
So talk to me about when and how this dream of working in nature and with animals really took root in your life, because you weren't someone who grew up camping and all of that stuff, right?
It's exactly right. I come from a Black American family, very urban upbringing. And although there are plenty of Black folks that, you know, spend time in the outdoors, that's not what we did. So my access to nature as a kid, as an adolescent, as a teenager, was always through nature shows. And that would take me to Africa, to Asia, to South America, to Australia, you know, all over the world to learn about and fall in love with wild animals and their conservation.
Part of you wanted to do it, but you didn't see anyone that looked like yourself doing it, so you didn't really think it was possible.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I knew is that, like, these British and Australian white guys on TV, I want to be just like them. I literally went to college. In my first week of college, I went to my advisor and I said, what do I have to major in to be a nature show host? But I never quite believed that I could. And I mean, there wasn't a woman, there wasn't a Black person, let alone a Black woman leading in this space that was at least visible to me as I was coming up. You know, I heard the little clip you guys played. I even had people say to me, it's impossible, Rae, because of your identity.
I mean, I do have to ask you about what made you think it was possible or what made you keep going. It seems like you did have this experience where you studied abroad during undergrad. You were in Kenya, and it seems like that experience was really transformative.
What made me keep going was a bit more education. And this all really clicked to me my junior year of college when I decided to sign up for a study abroad program. And I was 20 years old and I had never been hiking, camping, fishing, hunting. I'd never pitched a tent. I'd never put on hiking boots. There were 12 students. We were living at a campsite on the outskirts of Amboseli National Park. And my instructors for the program were Black Kenyan men. And it was this wonderful, incredibly important moment for me where first I was getting my first experience in the outdoors. I was seeing my first wild animals. And I was being taught by Black experts who really saw me. And I honestly think that that really changed everything in terms of my career path.
You write often about how understanding animal behavior and habitats helps inform your understanding of humans. And this happened in a really striking way when you were presenting a paper on bear mortality.
I was studying black bears in North America, and I found myself right after Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, Missouri, at the biggest ecology conference, presenting research on the mortality risk of black bears in America. And the idea is I had spent years trying to figure out which areas of the landscape are really dangerous. Where are they more likely to be killed by people? And I bombed that presentation because I remember feeling on that stage that I didn't care about that right now. What I cared about was the mortality risk of black boys and men in America at that moment. And I felt so sure that the research community I was presenting to would not want to talk about that. And it helped me to realize that I needed my science community to recognize that if you care about science, you have to care about scientists. And scientists are black and brown and immigrants and Muslim and from the LGBTQ plus community. And that although science may be neutral, the identities of scientists aren't always neutral. Sometimes they can be political.
Why do you seem to always come back to bears?
I got real hooked real fast. Studying black bears allowed me to be very hands-on with wildlife. I wasn't just studying them in theory or watching them from a distance. Every so often, I was touching their fur, measuring their bodies, and really learning about them very up close. And that was really special for me to kind of do the opposite of what all of those nature shows taught me when I was a little kid. You know, for so long, I thought that, gosh, you know, nature is an ocean and a continent away. I'm from San Francisco, and nature is just a couple hours away. There's bears, and there's mountain lions, and there's bobcats, and there's forests, and there's mountains, and there's adventure, and there's finding myself, and I don't necessarily have to go really far.
And you have realized that childhood dream of hosting a nature show. So what is that like for you?
This is a radio show, right? So you can't see that I'm smiling. It is an absolutely surreal feeling that I have, completely full circle. And I feel that I'm now serving in a different way. Before it was research, and now it's education.
That's Rae Wynn Grant, host of Wild Kingdom and author of the memoir Wild Life. Thank you so much for joining us.
This was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and T-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.